I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 23, verse probably 44. And written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Generally, you can just keep standing, don't worry. Not yet. Generally, when we learn how to preach and teach, this is a great time for us to tell a good story. We've heard it, you know, a good story, keep the transition going. But I think that normally I do it too, but normally that's what I do too. But what I want to do today is I want you guys to turn to Psalm 31, and I'm going to continue reading, but I want to get illustration basically from David in the psalm that he had written, Psalm 31, and I'll read some of it now, and I'll read some of it later, and we won't have to stay standing the entire time, just until after I'm done with the first part. So, Psalm chapter 31, verse 1, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth." Please bow your heads with me. Father, as we have heard words of your Son this morning into the afternoon now, Lord, we have read these words time and time again. We have heard this story time and time again. Lord, please give us the grace, give us the knowledge, give us the wisdom to be able to apply these things. Give us the patience to be able to listen on. Lord, let us apply those words of David and repeated by Christ. Let us live that out, committing our lives to you. You may pray. Amen. You may have a seat now. Thank you very much. David is asking God to be everything in his life. Everything. When we think of the word everything, it's very obvious. We think of everything. But is it possible to really talk about everything? Is it possible to really even think about everything? There are things that are going on in our lives right now that we don't even know what's going on. Some of us, we have no idea what's going on at our home right now. But we somehow have to give that to God. We somehow have to give everything to God. David is almost like he's just like screaming, "Please! Let me take refuge in you. Let me find strength in you. Let me find shelter in you. Let me find light, the path, light the pathway in you. Let me find a sustainer in you." He needs strength in his battles and leading the nation and doing what is right. How about in just general health? He needs that strength to stay healthy. Shelter, obviously, a roof over his head, but protection. Protection from the wrong mindset, protection from others, protection from living the life that he has seen destroy man after man after man. The light on the pathway, guidance, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, who he is to be friends with, who is he supposed to stay away from. How to do what is best for his country and family and himself. Sustain him. Christ, God, be his sustainer. Give him endurance to press on doing what is right. To not be lazy. To not stay tired. To not give up. To not flee from hard times. To not stop living for God. There are so many correlations in the life of David and the life of Christ. It's ridiculous. when I was doing studies in the Old Testament, what I was trying to get the point across is there's this bloodline that is going through all these people in the Old Testament. There's this constant bloodline. And if this guy ended up dying, that bloodline's cut off and there's no Jesus Christ. If you read your Old Testament and you look through all, you know, these Beatitudes, even the New Testament, but all these, all the people, and like he begat this guy and this guy begat this guy and these people here. This bloodline is ridiculous, but there's a purpose. It is long, but it has very much meaning. So when Christ is repeating what David is saying in Psalm, it is for a reason. And when we think of Christ on the cross, we don't just think of Christ on the cross as someone who we are to look at and say, wow, that was awesome of what he did. That was great what he did. I cannot believe that he did that. That's amazing. I can't even believe it sometimes. Have a great day. That is not the purpose of him saying these words. That is not the purpose of this word being written. The purpose of all this is to change lives. To bring people out of darkness and into light. Well, when we think of Christ and we think of what he said on this cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The thing that there's a bunch of stuff that goes through my head, but the things that constantly go through my head is relief. Relief. There's a fire going on at your home, and you pretty much, you know, you're the man of the house, or you're the person in the house who knows what to do. You got the fire escape, you got this, you got that. How much better does it feel when the fireman finally gets there, though? The man who knows what he's doing, he's trained to do this perfectly. How much relief is there? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I've had your word. I've studied it. I've tried to live it out. But I can't do it. I cannot live it. I need you. I need to give it to you so that I can do it properly. Finally, when that fireman shows up, all right, you need to get out here and let me take over. Okay, no problem. Our relief. People are hungry. I mean, let's just apply this so easily right now. People are hungry. Some of you are hungry. People are tired, scared, confused, dying, hurting, struggling, giving up. Some people have given up. Frustrated. Stretched in every direction as far as possible. I've been dealing with a family in the church for over a month and a half now. And the mother of this family, she is up at 3. We have to deal with the therapist and everything. And what she told the therapist, she gets the most of her work done from 3 to 9 in the morning. That's ridiculous. Because I'm dropping her child off and just messing up, clean up the rest of the day at like 10 o'clock every night. And she gets the most of her work done from 3 to 9. People are stretched. People are tired. People are losing jobs. People have been looking for jobs for months and months. People don't know how they're going to feed themselves, let alone feed their children. People have lost their vehicles. People are running out of money. Some of you have already ran out of money. Have children that constantly are getting in trouble at school. You personally or your family members have health issues, struggling to take care of life's many trials. The list can go on and on and on. How awesome would it be to have relief from these things? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There is relief. We can have relief. We need to stop focusing on these issues and start focusing on what has taken place. Does it make our problems go away? Of course not. But it puts us in a mindset of obedience and brings us to a place where we can feel that rest that we never thought we could have. Not only does it make us feel relief when we commit our spirits, but Christ is having a confidence. How many of us have not been confident in a long time? There is so much going on. How many of us have no idea, probably all of us, have no idea what's going to take place next year? What about next month? next week, tomorrow? I mean, how can we honestly have a confidence in our lives when we're preparing and working and resting up and planning and we have no idea what's going to take place when we leave this building? How can we have a confidence? We can't. There's no way. Or is there? When we put into perspective that God is in control and everything He wants done is going to happen, we then realize that really all we can do is try to be obedient in this moment right now. We all know the text in Matthew. Don't worry. God takes care of the birds and the fields. Don't worry. But do we worry? Yes. Do we have confidence that our 401k is going to be okay? Do we have confidence that our children are going to be able to get out of our house at a decent age? Come on. Why can't we have this confidence? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. How much confidence do we have if we truly do that? If we truly commit our spirit, give it all, how much confidence can we have to know that in our corner, we have the God that created. We have the God that determines. We have the God who is sovereign over all things. Is there really much we can think about and change? No. If all we have to work out at this moment, isn't it easy to have confidence? How many of you are struggling with sitting down right now? Many of you are doing pretty good at that. You should have confidence, right? I know how to sit down. I've done it before. I know how to listen. I'm doing a great job at that. I got some confidence right now. We should have confidence knowing God is in control. We should be ready and excited because God already knows what's going to happen. And our responsibility is to work right now. Right now, right this second. Not when we leave. A lot of you, yes, you have school and children and work and homes and cars and family members. And again, the list can go on and on. We can make every excuse, every reason not to be confident right now, not to be content right now. But let's be truthful. Can we really control those things? It's been proven time and time again that we cannot. You can try. I've tried. To no avail. It's not possible. But we can have confidence that the Creator is in control. Now all you have to do at this moment is take notes. That's it. That's all you are called to do. Take notes. Some of you, it might be a struggle, I understand. If you want mine later, you can have them. The third thing that I'm taking out of this when I'm seeing Christ screaming, yelling, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, is what Bobby hit on hard. Hope. Hope. When we take Christ out of the picture, what do we have? Think of those who don't have a relationship with Christ. They have uncertainty, unfulfilling pleasures, free for all with lasting consequences, lack of purpose, and always asking, why? Why did this happen? Why is this going on? What's going to happen next? Why does this have to be like this? It does not matter who you are, where you have been, what you're doing. If you believe in Christ or not, you will eventually face difficult times. You will eventually face difficult decisions. And we will all have to be responsible for one or more of our actions at one time or another. Probably more than just one action. So as I read this text about Christ saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, I understand that my hope from Christ keeps me going through everything. My hope that everything is going to be okay comes from a God that has proven Himself time and time again. He is consistent and He is truthful. When He says to the people of Israel, if you do this, you're going to be punished. What happens when they do this? They're punished. When He says, if you do this and you follow after me, you will have this done to you. What happens? They're obedient. This thing happens to them. Never once can you read in this scripture where God says, He's going to do this and all of a sudden He just say, you know, I changed my mind for this. Well, there was probably when Moses was arguing. But ultimately He is sovereign. A hope is what people are looking for. So many different avenues and so many different choices. Whether you're from sixth grade all the way up to a grandparent of 25, you are looking for hope in something. We are looking for hope in something. Whether it be our peers accepting us or our pension and retirement panning out. It is not that we are not supposed to be finding our hope in man. That's not the issue. It's not that we're supposed to be finding our hope in man. But we have been continuously tricked to try and find our hope in the wrong man. We have to find our hope in Christ. So for some of you here who have been here a number of times, who have been in and out of these doors a number of times, for some of you here who have professed Christianity, who are still finding hope in the wrong man, you're halfway there. Find hope in the man. So I'm reading this text and I'm thinking of Christ, obviously, and what He did, 33 years of obedience, giving up Himself to the government, being tortured and beaten and brought to death. I mean, He is in everything that needed to be done, He has done it. Every single thing that He has been asked to do, that has the prophecy has said He's going to do, He has done it. But what is the purpose of His actions? Obedience. So that He can be glorified. Adam was created to be in control and rule, but he could not. He fell short. In order for Christ to be glorified, He needed to do what you and Adam and I have proven time and time again that we are not capable of doing. We are not capable of living that life. We are not capable of dying that death. But what does Christ say? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I mean, He quotes David, yes, but even after He's done everything that He's supposed to do, He is still falling in line with the roles of the Trinity. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Not, no longer. He didn't say, Father, I've done everything. Now, me and you, let's do this thing. No, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I am still under you. How many of us have done well in a lot of things, and when we've done well, we are ready to tell people? Humility is the last thing in our minds. This is an amazing story that is told each year in a perfect memory of what took place in order for us to change our lives. But what do we do with it? How does what Christ did on the cross affect us? Or how should it affect us? Because there are many people that don't know what happened. How amazing that seems. Some people do not know of this story. And obviously there are a number of people that know what happened but live differently. What are we supposed to do? Are we just supposed to leave this Easter, this Resurrection Sunday, this weekend, being thankful we got to spend time with our family and heard the story again? See you next year. Well, obviously, as I'm studying for this, for teaching, you know, I'm not just reading the one or two verses that I'm supposed to be basically teaching out of. I'm trying to get everything. And it was awesome because Psalm 31 doesn't just stop there at David saying, you know, into your hands I commit my spirit, redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. There is verse 6 through 24. He still has some other things to say. So I'm trying to hint around that. I'm going to try to read some more. So in case you do have your Bible and you are the type of person who likes to follow along reading, it's a great opportunity for you to open back up to 31, the book of Psalms. So after he says, into your hands I commit my spirit, redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. What is he supposed to do now? What are we supposed to do now? I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak because of all my enemies. I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread of my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I become like broken pottery, for I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me in a plot to take my life. How do we feel when we are trying to proclaim this truth that we hear so often? Uncomfortable. How many of us are just, it's like sad how weak we come across, how scared we are. 14, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and lie silent in the grave. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. This past week, in our clay class last Sunday, someone was telling a story about how, you know, you guys ever hear that, you know, you try to act a different way in front of people and they're like, what are you, holier than thou? And we have all heard this and you're like, oh man, I don't want to come across like that. But this one lady said that she responded, thank you. Thank you very much. You noticed. I mean, isn't that the truth though? Isn't that the purpose? Is Christ dying on the cross so we can be like everybody else? Or is Christ dying on the cross so we are holy? I mean, look at the bride and the groom. The groom is dying on the cross so the bride lives for the groom. We're living for Christ because He has made us holy. Thank you. I was like, that makes so much sense. Why am I such a chicken to tell the truth? I mean, obviously you don't say, yeah, because I've done this. The point is, it's... what? Nobody says that. Well, this is why. This is why I say thank you. So what now? What is David saying? What are we supposed to be doing? The worst thing you could do right now is to leave here hearing these messages, to leave Sundays hearing these messages, to leave your Bible on your nightstand or on your table or next to your bed after reading, to walk out of that room and to say, got that done, it's not a big deal, I'm done. We have to remember what this is all about. We have to look at Christ as the example and live by that example. We are holy because of Christ. But the story doesn't end there. There's a life we are to lead now. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Why don't we live our lives committing everything? Why don't we? I just went through a whole bunch of reasons why. I just showed you why all those things are not even close to a good reason. So let's start. Right now. Let's start. Committing our hands. Sorry. Committing our spirit and our lives to the Father to glorify His Son. Let's pray. Lord, it is true that you bring many men behind your word to preach your word. And it is true that you have brought many of us to study your word. And there's been many times where we have left it there. There's been many times where we've completely contradicted what we said that we believe. Lord, we thank you for not giving up on us. We thank you for giving us a love and a grace that keeps us going. We thank you for being our sustainer because, Lord, we have proven time and time again we cannot sustain ourselves whatsoever. Father, let us start right now a new life. Amen.